Father, we worship you. We thank you so much for your presence in our midst. We know it's not everywhere that your presence is manifest, and we can say thank you. Thank you for our fathers, Lord God, your servants, under whose covering we are gathered. Lord, as we come and go into the service this morning, I ask for fresh mercy and unction upon my heart and upon my lips. That, Lord, you help me to teach and speak this word, Lord God, in humility, in purity, so that the word will come forth with power, with clarity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. He will do an eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that there will be a transformation in our lives unto holiness, unto righteousness, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, Lord, back it with your power. Everywhere it goes, let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be opened. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let needs be met, that you will meet us at the point of our need, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that in this service you be glorified. I ask for mercy, that you help me, Lord, not to speak of myself, but to speak, Lord God, to seek your glory and seek your honor and that of my fathers, so that, Lord God, there will be no unrighteousness in me, and that word, Lord, will be concise and precise, redeeming the time, not saying unnecessary things, bringing glory to the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, it's great to be in the house of God this morning. And I want to honor my fathers once again for their love and their sacrifice over decades that is transforming us all and set us on the path of destiny. I really think many times, where would we be if we were not in this house? I really can't answer that question. You know, I mean, positively. You know, when I think of all the options, I know that it's a miracle. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma, for laying down your lives. Thank you so much. Thank you. Recently, we celebrated 37 years of Scripture Pastor Christian Center. Wow. One church that is transforming lives over decades. No branches, to the glory of God. Amen. No branches. Changing lives, having impact in the church, impact in the school, impact in the community, impact in the nation, impact in the nations of the world. This is a burning bush. Hallelujah. And it's better you turn when you look at it. Burning with the glory of the love of God and the fire of the love of God. Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, mommy. Thank you, pastor. This morning, as we go into the word of God, we're trusting God for mercy. Amen. And I'm trusting God that you are praying for me. Amen. All right. This Bible study this morning. Last time we were here, last week, we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. And we'll just do a quick recap by the help of the Holy Spirit. Mentioning in our last lesson that God instructs us to pray for our leaders. Not that they're not praying. They're praying. It's for us to join forces with them in deep intercession, so that the pure word of God, like the Bible says in the Amplified, it will speed on. No, that word needs to, it means that the word has a journey that it must go through, for it to accomplish the will of God. And we said last time, we're saying it again, that the word of God, it makes three stops. The very first time you hear the word of God, it goes into your mind, if your heart is open. And then you understand it, okay? That so it doesn't fall on the fallow ground. You understand it. And then the next stop it needs to make, it doesn't stop there. It shouldn't stop there. You should now have revelation in your heart. So that word in your head goes to your heart. And you have revelation of that truth, meaning that God gives you light personally from the Holy Spirit to see the reality of that. And then that same word now moves to our feet, where it produces Christ-like conduct. So we do what we learn. It's so important that we understand that we must be doers. Then the word of God must not be blocked. That journey must be complete. That circuit, must be complete. From head to heart to feet, as Papa Ralph taught us and Pastor has re-emphasized over the years. And that's why we pray, because it is the fruit that comes from our conduct that glorifies God. Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." God is not primarily glorified by the money you have. Now, nothing wrong with money, but the fruit must be there. And many times, it is the fruit that must be there. When your soul is prospering, then God can prosper you and keep you in good health to that degree. So that's why it's very important. And we saw that, the Bible says that my speech and my preaching were not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. That our faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what the Word of God is doing. It makes a journey so that it produces fruit from our lives. And God will cause our lives to be well-pleasing to Him with much fruit in Jesus' name. That fruit that we bring forth confirms to us that that word is a real word. That is a true word. That is not just what the pastor is saying. That I can experience what he has just said. Okay? And that experience makes us, know that all the promises that God has given in the word can also come to pass. Amen. So that experience produces hope, like the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, in verses 4 and 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. All right? We're not turning there. So no matter the challenges we face, we keep looking inward, not outward. Amen. Like we keep looking inward. Bible says, why we look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. It's not that they are not seen. They're spiritual. You can see them. Amen. You can see him that is invisible. You can see that frame, what God is doing in our lives. That is the proof that we're on the right path. Amen. Okay. So even when, Bible says, even when the fig tree does not blossom, when there is no fruit in the stores, it says, yet will I, we have Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 17, yet will I rejoice in the Lord our God. Amen. And I will glory in the God of my salvation. He says, he makes my feet like hinds' feet, and I mount up. Hallelujah. That's God's portion for us. In spite of what the devil throws us, we keep going forward. And then we overcome him, and then God brings us into rest. Of course, at every level, God keeps blessing us. So we saw that. Then we also saw that the devil plants wicked men in the church. And these men, the Bible says, while men slept, these men oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of personal gain. Okay, and so it takes spiritual power. That's another reason why we pray. It takes spiritual power to overcome, to remove them. God neutralizes them and removes them from the way, so that that word of God can go into the hearts of the people that are under their authority. Amen. All right, you see an example in Acts chapter 13, verse 6 to 12. Acts 13, 6 to 12. Let's look at that very quickly. We see the story of about Jesus, and say, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew. Notice he was a Christian. He was a Jew. No, but his name was Bar Jesus. Next verse. Who was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, so an honest man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Next verse. But Elymas, the same person, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Why? Because if he turns the deputy away from the faith, then he's going to lose him, and then all the influence, all the money, getting what that's there are men in the church that are doing this today, but they have failed. You can see what happens to him. Next verse. And then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him, hallelujah, both spiritually and physically, and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? There are men in the church today that are perverting the right ways of the Lord. And God is going to remove them. In fact, he's already removing them. They have become leprous. They are strange children. You know, that's what the Bible says. And their hindrance, God removes them so he can get at his people that are under their influence. Sorcerer, using their will, you know, self-will, not no passive witchcraft, an active witchcraft. Next verse. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Now, the hand of the Lord should be a good hand, shouldn't it? But depending on what you are doing, the hand of God will find you out. He will find them out. Amen. There's no hiding place. Then thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Next verse, verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, did what? Believe. Hallelujah. Being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, is coming to pass again. By the power and the force of spiritual arms. So we see that. All right. Now it's important to understand that when the apostolic word, you know, is not sown in our hearts, or maybe because of our rebellion, God forbid, you know, or ignorance, you know, we've not heard it before, our faith is perverted. That is, the faith is not pure faith. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Galatians 1, 6 to 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So they were born again, born into the grace of Christ. But something happened. There was a shift negatively. Next verse. Which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert. Anytime the gospel is not balanced, when they omit certain things to emphasize other things, you know, they de-emphasize the weightier matters of the law. It's a perversion. And it creates Christians with perverted faith. Thank God for the purity in this house. Hallelujah. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. Thank God for the purity under which we have lived and we have grown. And even when people leave this house and go to other places, it's clear that they are healthy, strong Christians. You know, it's clear. Because there's a pattern in the house. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. You know. But though we or an angel from heaven, anybody, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's a very strong word. It means that there is a curse upon them from the Lord for perverting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important that we don't allow ourselves all these prosperity gospels, all this crown without a cross. You don't need to pray. You don't need to fast. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to study. Just speak the word. Really? Aren't we following Jesus? No. It's a perversion. It's a perversion, you know, and it's not going to work. The Bible says that the apostolic word is a more sure word of prophecy, which is like a light that shines in the dark place. So when the light is not there, the place is dark. That's where the perversion comes from, because there is darkness, okay? So, brethren, as Christians, we can't have our own opinion. Amen. Brethren, you're not saying amen. You can't have your own opinion. We are under authority. Jesus is our Lord. He's not just our Savior. So we submit to His word. We humble ourselves under His word. We seek His will in prayer. And we repent and forsake our wicked ways. That's what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, we saw that last week. Though if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. So every time the word of God is supreme. Even God has exalted His word above His name. How much more we? So we need to submit to the word of God and seek the will of God, you know, in prayer and in repentance. And when we do that, God begins to open our eyes to see how to walk in love deeper and deeper. And that is how we get established in the word. Okay? So God wants us to be established in the love of God. You know, that establishing is establishing and establishing in the love of God. You know, and which primarily is the willingness to do what God would do in every situation. You know, but it doesn't stop with your will. Even though it starts with your will, and once God sees that will inclination, the mercy of God, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect. So it's important to start with that will, the willingness to do the will of God. Okay? But love of God is more than that. It affects your mind. It affects your emotions. It affects your body. So there are levels of the love of God. That's where I'm going. All right? But once God sees that will inclination, he shows himself strong to protect and deliver us. Amen? While we keep growing in love. And that's the will of God. So as we practice speaking God's word, thinking it and doing it with open hearts. We saw that last week. Ruth opened up to those in authority. Your heart is the altar that sanctifies the gift of your prayer, the gift of your fasting, the gift of your Bible reading. It is the heart that sanctifies it. So when the heart is open, the heart is pure, there are no attitudes there towards God and towards those in authority and towards the people around you, then you begin to grow. Or put it this way, to the degree that is pure, it's to that degree that we grow. And we are set free from sin and satanic attack. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. Let's give it to me in the Message Bible, please. And see. John 8, 31, 32. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Jesus turned to the Jews who claimed to believe in him. He says, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Next verse. How many disciples are there for sure? Hallelujah. Okay, put your hands down. Let's read it together. Then you will what? I can't hear that word. Experience for yourselves the truth. And the truth will what? Free you from satanic attack. It will free you. It primarily frees us from the sin nature. And when you are free from the sin nature, Satan has no goods that he can use to trap you. So you are free. That's the real liberty. That is the real liberty. And that's what God wants us to be free. And we can see all over the Bible, people that were free. They were free from satanic oppression, satanic attack, because they were serving God. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Just serve God with sincerity and diligence. Okay? Joseph was delivered from Potiphar's wife. He was free. Even when she held his shirt, he was free. When somebody is free, you can't hold them down. You can do everything you need to do to hold them down. It's to the point of holding them physically. But they are not in your hand. Because it is a spiritual thing. When they are free from the nature, they are free from you. You being somebody who is against the will of God. Hallelujah. All right? So we are free from wicked spirits. Same way the three Hebrew boys were free from Nebuchadnezzar and his fire. Apostle Paul was free from perils in the sea, perils of robbers, perils of the heathen, perils of false brethren. Apostle John was free from boiling oil. You also will be free. That's the will of God. So God is telling us that there's nothing to be afraid of. You serve God without fear. You serve God bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit by being diligent and being sincere and obedient to the instructions of spiritual fathers. Now we're going on from verse 5 this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. From verse 5. Yes. Can you give me 2 Thessalonians 3 verse? Let's read it together. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So we're waiting for Christ patiently. Amen. It's not a passive waiting. It's an active waiting. Okay. Next verse. All right. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother or sister that walketh disorderly. What's that word? Disorderly. Let's say it together. Disorderly. As they don't follow a certain order. Okay? And not after the tradition which he received of us. Next verse. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Next verse. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail. Spiritual labor and physical travail. Did both. They didn't have to. They could have taken what they were giving them, but they wanted to make a point and show an example. Labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. It's not an apologetic gospel. It's a dominating gospel. It's a gospel that says that when people say that they're going the extra mile, it goes. The Bible says if somebody takes your coat, give him your cloak. Somebody says go with him 1 mile, go with him 2 miles, go the extra mile to set Jesus apart by your lifestyle, by your decisions. That's what he's talking about. Neither did we eat any man's bread. Well, next verse, please. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you. To what? Follow. Follow. The key here is follow. Next verse. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. I thought we were supposed to be taking care of people that cannot walk. But the proviso there, if you can walk and you are not walking, the Bible says you should not eat. Next verse. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybodies. May we not be busybodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, amen. All right. Let's start from verse 5. Trust the Holy Spirit to have mercy on us. Okay? Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Verse 5. Are you with me, brethren? Hello, are you with me this morning? Amen. All right, thank you. I'm under covering, so you're going to be with me, whether you like it or not. Amen. All right, let's read together. May the Lord direct your hearts into realizing and showing the love of God, and into the steadfastness and patience of Christ, and in waiting for his return. Even the steadfastness is the fruit of the Spirit. Even the patience is the fruit of the Spirit. So he's talking about bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. And this prayer is one of several prayers that we've been taught in this house. We call it Pauline prayers. There are prayers that Paul prayed for Christians everywhere he went. Because it's so important to understand that without these prayers, they're strategic in the Bible. Amen. They are strategic, because without them, we don't have the wisdom. The fact that you are born again doesn't mean you're going to enter into your destiny. You need to pray certain prayers so that God will open your eyes and see what is secret. It's in the Bible, but it's hidden. And you have to stay under covering, under authority of spiritual fathers who bring out these truths to you, and then you can partake of them by praying those prayers yourself. And I mentioned just some of them. Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 18 is an example. The Bible says God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being further enlightened, as you may know better than ever the hope of your calling. It means that if you don't pray that prayer, God will not be able to enlighten you, to show you the hope of your calling. It's very important. The Bible, Colossians 1, chapter 9 to 10, you know, 9 to 11 is another one, you know, and that opens our eyes. No. Philippians 1, verse 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 and 12. These prayers are strategic in the Bible, okay? What he's talking about here is that God wants to direct our hearts into the love of God so that divine love will be your first response. Under pressure, love comes out. Now, that's not normal. Now, that is automatic because you are born again. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. The fact that you are born again doesn't mean love will be your first response. I'm sure you've seen many Christians, even we ourselves, God have mercy on us. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when you've just prayed and you think that you are unassailable, and you just do something and fall flat on your face, and you wonder, but I was praying. Or you are praying and fasting and you receive wrongly. Mercy, oh. Mercy. You receive, what you receive is not the will of God. You know, so it tells you that it's nothing special about you because you are born again. It's the mercy of God that keeps us. Amen. I know, and it helps us to grow. All right, so God has to work on us. You and I are a work in progress. You know, so being born again is not a ticket. It's not once born again, ever born again. No. It's the beginning of a journey. Amen? And we keep progressing on that journey. So Paul here begins to pray these prayers so that his spiritual children can have deeper understanding of the instructions of how to walk in the love of God. And it brings to my mind a story pastor has always told us many years, that Kenneth Hagin, you know, that has gone home to be with the Lord now, mighty man of God, you know, he was an itinerant preacher for 14 years. And then Jesus appeared to him and taught him this prayer. Jesus had to appear and teach him these prayers. And when he prayed it, he started praying them, you know, every day. And he did it for 6 months. And he was amazed at the revelation that with which he was teaching. And he wondered, so what have I been doing before? You know, so it's important to understand, you know, that the way into the purpose of God and the destiny God has for us, you know, is by light. The Bible talks about the inheritance of the saints in light. So it's important to have light all the time. We must be seeing what God is seeing, okay? And as we pray these prayers, we begin to understand our purpose as Christians. What is our purpose as Christians? Look at John chapter 17, verse 3. The Holy Spirit helped me break it down in three phases. Let's read it together. This is the first part. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The first step is that by eternal life, through eternal life, we fellowship with God and come to know him. That's the first step of the purpose. We must know him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 that we might know thee from the least to the greatest. Then we go on to the next verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14. And that knowing him, that becoming like him in character. That's what it means to know him. Sharing his inward likeness. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we now inherit the glory. And then with that glory, we then do the greater works that Jesus declared that we are going to do. Amen. Look at John 14 verse 12. John 14, 12. Verily, verily. That means surely, surely. That means you can take this to the bank and this is something we're going to fulfill on this side of heaven to the glory of God. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, if you believe on Jesus, let me see your hand up. The works that I do, keep it up. The works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So we know him, okay? Then the power of resurrection in his fullness, the Spirit without measure, or the glory of God. And then we go ahead and fulfill this charge that he has given us to do the greater works, okay? We saw that. That means, you know, that we witness that gospel of the kingdom, you know, to all tribes and ethnos, you know, and then, you know, that we delivers creation from the bondage of corruption, you know, and we destroy the works of the devil, you know, and then we, you know, close the age, you know, bring down the power of the ages to come in our experience. Hallelujah. We bring it down, you know, and then when we have done, then we go, we check out to the glory of God. Amen. We're all going first flight in Jesus' name. And so we see that when we get born again, we need to grow progressively. And that's what the Bible says. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. That growth is by eternal life. You must understand, you can't separate. Eternal life is intrinsic. It says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So the more life you have, the more fruit of the Spirit you'll be able to walk in. Without that life is what gives you the wisdom and the power to walk in love. Amen. That's that, the love of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at from verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You see that glory there again. Glory and then virtue. Hallelujah. Next verse. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We already have the divine nature in our spirits, but we now partake of it in increasing measure in our souls and increasing measure in our bodies. Hallelujah. All right. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the more you partake of divine nature, the more you escape the corruption in the world. Hallelujah. Next verse. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or excellence. All right? And to virtue, knowledge. So you keep adding. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. Next verse. We keep adding. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Give me verse 5 in the Amplified. I want to bring out a point so you can see it by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amplified. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises. We must add diligence to divine promises. Diligence is consistent, concentrated, well-directed effort. Employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. Hallelujah. It's supernatural power to go the extra mile in everything, do things excellently. You know, that's what's coming, Christian energy. It's an energy. You know, there's potential energy, there's kinetic energy, there's Christian energy. Hallelujah. Yes, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. After you have worked like everybody else, you come back and come and pray 2 hours. Yes, and when you pray, you read your Bible. Then you come out, you have energy. So when people are saying that they are tired, you have extra Christian energy to go. So when the people say it's not possible, just keep quiet, because you are doing what they say is impossible. You are doing it every day by the mercy and the grace of God. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. Next verse. So there's normal intelligence, then there's divine intelligence on top. And in exercising knowledge, so as you exercise or practice knowledge, you develop self-control. So as you exercise or practice one, you develop the next one. So it's progressive. That's the point God is trying to make to us. It's progressive. Okay? And let's go back to verse 8. Now in the in King James. Oh, let's leave it. I exercise the step, let's develop godliness, piety. Next verse, verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And exercising godliness, develop brotherly. Okay, next verse, verse 8. Thank you. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you. That's why Satan cannot touch you. They will keep you from being idle and unfruitful into the full personal knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Next verse. For whoever lacks these qualities is what? Blind. It means that they have light in them. These qualities work with light. So if you don't have them, it means that you don't have light that you have. That it's a function of light. Okay, he's blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Next verse, verse 10 and 11 is my point. That because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. If you grow in love and grow in love, you get to the point where you will never fall. First thing is that you will establish your calling. Calling is going to heaven. Election is fulfilling all that is written of you in the volume of the book. You get a reward for those ones. That's why Christianity is not just, we're not all going to be the same. That's why there's first flight, there's second flight, there's third flight. But we're all going first flight in Jesus' name. Verse 11. All right, so we see what he's saying. Thus, there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry. God will give you access, open door, into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You become like him. So we can grow and add fruit and add fruit. So it's very important. That's the will of God, you know. Why is this important? Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What is God saying? God is saying that we have to fulfill. We have to fulfill. You have to fulfill the law and the prophets. He fulfilled the law and the prophets. Jesus said, he said, I fulfilled the law and the prophet and the Psalms. Jesus fulfilled everyone to the point where he said, I thirst. And he knew that because he had to say that so that they can give him vinegar to drink, so the scripture can be fulfilled. He told John the Baptist, he said, bros, you should be baptized. He said, no. Suffer it to be so for now. It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill. What scriptures has God revealed to you that you have to fulfill? Certainly, Christ in you, the hope of glory, must be fulfilled. And other scriptures, you begin to ask, as your eyes open and my eyes open, we begin to see scriptures that we need to fulfill. The more we fulfill the law, because the law is love. Romans 13:10. Let's look at it. Romans 13, when the Bible talks about law, you know, it's talking about the law of life and love. Using the life of God, you know, in Jesus' name I have life, to fulfill the love of God. That's the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So if you fulfill, if you walk in love, you are fulfilling the law. And there are two things. So the more you fulfill the law, the more you now have light from God to fulfill the prophets. And then you establish your calling and election. And God opens you a door into the everlasting kingdom. That's going to be your experience in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us, brethren. Amen. Amen. So we must be on that way of love. You know, and that's what we're rewarded for. Look at Revelation 22, verse 19. Revelation 22, verse 19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall what? Take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, the church, things they're supposed to have done, and from the things which are written in this book. Brethren, we're not in competition, no? You have things to fulfill. I have things to fulfill. The first thing is that we must all get to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So each day, we make each day count. Start each day with humility so that you can have light. And so you can see the way of love and walk in it. Pray. Humility, you know, men, ma'am, you know, that we use it for the nation, but really it's for living every day. Called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. We keep turning from our wicked ways. We don't go back to our vomit. We don't go around in circles. May God have mercy on us. We break out. It's the level of humility, brother. You humble yourself, you know, and say, Lord, I'm willing to do your will, whatever it is. So you apologize to the person that needs apology, even when you are not the one that offended them. You do it, whatever God wants us to do, we do it so that we can fulfill the things, we can grow. And the more we grow, the more we begin to fulfill the things that are written on. Look at Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 10 to 12. Mommy was praying for us today. Thank God for covering. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Next verse. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. What's God saying? Abraham, who was so concerned about, well, you are not giving me a son. He went and had a son out of the will of God. The same Abraham, God said, take your son. And God has, Abraham has grown. His love for God has surpassed his love for himself, even the love for his son. But then we must love God more than we love our children. We must love one another and love anything or anyone. In fact, you can't love anybody correctly, because the commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and then love. You can't fulfill two without one. It is one that gives you insight about how to love two, whether they think is love or not. That is love. This is love. Abraham did not discuss his wife. He just took the boy. God said I should do it. It is love. Brethren, we must change the love. The pastor has preached it. I'm just re-emphasizing it. That love is not a sentimental, just do good and be kind. That's not love. Love is whatever God says to do. That is love. This is love. You know why? Because there was something behind it. This is love. God was using it as a covenant. So if you give up, you are willing to give up your son, then I am under obligation to give up my own son and save the whole world. Let's jump to Genesis chapter 15. No, Genesis 22, verse 15. Same. The angel came again. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Next verse. I said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Next verse. That in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thee as the stars of heaven. And as the sand which is upon the seashore. Before it was just stars of heaven, no. The first one he said, when he said Abraham believed and was counted for righteousness, he was just look up and see the stars. If you can count them, this shall be your seed. He's added to it. You know, it's no longer physical, it's spiritual. It's everybody that is born again is a child of Abraham. Every nation, every go on, and stand up with somebody. Then thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Next verse. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. That, brethren, is love. Abraham fulfilled his prophetic destiny. This was his prophetic destiny. It wasn't to get Abraham and have a son. The son had a purpose. To be able to give God a legal basis. So everybody is the seed of Abraham. Even though Christ is that seed, but all of us come through Christ. Hallelujah. Everybody is Abraham's seed. Can you imagine the reward? Can you imagine just looking at it from somebody who had no child? Brethren, those of us that are believing God, just be trusting God. Just stay with God. Stay with God. You know, it's important to understand. You know, Moses had a child before manifestation. He had a child in preparation stage. But Joseph had a child in manifestation phase. Joseph had a child in manifestation phase. His own children came in manifestation. So, Bernard, the game is not over yet. Don't call. It's not over yet. Let's see what God will do. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So we see that. All right. See that. So how do we do it? Galatians 4:19 amplified. Galatians 4:19. How do we walk in this kind of love to direct our hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting? Where you keep waiting, you know, for the glory of God, but you're not tired in your waiting. See, this is how to do it. My little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs, until Christ is what? Completely and permanently molded within you. So, birth pangs is travail. So, there is deep travail. You have to pray with travail. It is that travailing prayer in the spirit where it's not a language. It's an inaudible language where you release power. Bible says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That same travail. No, I reviewed that walking in the holiest. Pastor's weekly rema. I advise you to go and have a look at it. You know, it's that travail that takes us across the veil. And then when you now make confessions, because you have been making confessions before. You speak the word, and as you think it, you pray in the spirit. But it's not enough on its own. As you back it with travail, you know, then there's much more power released and much more transformation in the soul, so that you know, find that you can actually respond in love first time. That's the will of God for us. Amen. It's not. So as we speak the word and meditate on the fear of God and the love of God at least four times a day, at every opportunity, in every temptation, no, receiving mercy, praying in tongues, we are doing love. That travail takes us across the veil. Flushes out the sin nature and all the confessions. We now have the word of God. As you speak the word and you think it, the word of God is now written upon your heart. It says that in Hebrews, but this is how to do it. It's by prayer, deep intercession, confession of the word, meditation of the word on the love of God, you know, and then praying in the spirit to back it up. Okay, all right, let's look at verse 6 to 11. If we have enough time, we'll just start it off and then we'll finish it next week. So this is love. God has, this is, you know, the more light you have and the more love you walk in, he's now going to break things down now to give us how the love of God operates in a particular scenario. Okay, verse 6, where he says, command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. And not all our tradition you have received of us. Next verse. For yourselves know how much you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. It says disorderly. Next verse. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. What's he saying? He's saying that there is a set order. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Set order that God expects of us in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So we are following Christ, but we are following those who started following Christ before us, who are on the right path. You don't follow anybody just like that, too. You must be looking for the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. How do you know that they have fruit of the Spirit? When they rightly divide the word of God. That it takes fruit to rightly divide the word of God. Where they have deep wisdom from the word of God that comes from humility. And where you can see that their motives are pure. They're not doing things for money. They're not doing things for personal gain. You know, you can tell. That is how to recognize people to follow. And it says, you must follow. Brethren, you must follow somebody. You cannot walk on your own. You're not going to get very far. It's the way it's been designed. You know, God has designed like that. Neither can you follow from afar. As we obey instructions and copy the example of those in authority over us, we follow them. And our wills become aligned in faith, you know, and we receive light to follow closely so that we experience transformation. It's the same following that Elisha followed Elijah. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. You know, we know the story. He went from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, and from Jericho to Jordan. Okay? But Pastor taught us this a few days ago in the Daily Rema, following Elijah. But I want to bring out something here. You cannot follow from afar. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. Some of us are following from afar. And we need to repent. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here. No. Verse 5. We know this. Verse 5. Thank you. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. They had some knowledge. But knowledge is not everything. The fact that you have knowledge is not everything. It's important to experience a transformation. That is the key, you know. And you can see, because once you don't walk and follow, you know, you're going to swerve. You're going to get off. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Look at the next verse. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray ye here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Verse 7. And the 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood to view where? Afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Look at the effect of that in verse 16. Look at the effect of that in verse 16. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with my servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord had taken him up and had cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. And he said, you shall not send. There's no need to do that. Next verse. And they still urged him till he was ashamed. That is, they kept pressing until he just gave in. You know, and said, send. And they therefore sent 50 men, and they sought him 3 days, but found him not. Next. And when they came again to him, for a time, he said unto them, did I not say to you, go not? This is error. They had some knowledge, but because they didn't follow, then, you know, they lost the light that they have. May we not lose the light that we have in Jesus' name. John the Baptist had light. But because he chose not to follow, he lost the light that he had. Amen? We will not lose our light. It's very important because, you know, when you are following, your eye is single. Like the Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 34. Your eye is single. So your whole body is full of light. Your will is aligned. But once you start drawing back, your will is going to shift. And that same vessel that was full of light will now be full of darkness. Because it is a function of the inclination of the will. That's what's happening. So we must, and the Bible says that if you see people that are walking disorderly, we should avoid them. You know, because, you know, evil communication corrupts good manners. What do we follow? Quickly, as we round up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. What do we follow? But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity and patience. Next verse. And persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. We follow everything. We follow the fruit. We follow the example. We follow even the persecution. So we don't run away from persecution. Because as they overcame, we also will overcome. Amen. And that persecution will work. It will hasten the process of the love of God being perfected in us quicker. So there's no need to run away from it. So this is how to walk after due order. We obey instructions and we copy the example of those in authority. That's how to follow. If you don't do that, you create a breach. That is, you break the terms of a binding agreement. When you omit to do God's word, like David omitted to when he was going to bring the ark in, he did not consult God and the word. He did not, you know, but he brought a breach upon. So we must not ignore God's word and the example set by fathers. Whatever, what is it that you want to do? You know, you must ask God. You must seek God to find out how he wants us to do it. Don't just do it the way somebody else did it, or the way your neighbor did it, or the way your colleague at work did it. You know, that's not necessarily the way God wants to do it. God wants to do it, follow orderly, follow the instructions. And if you are following instructions of spiritual fathers, there will be light to show you and me what we need to do. Don't be like Nadab and Abihu. They saw the example. Nadab and Abihu, they went up with Moses and Aaron and 70 elders to the mountain to God twice. And then they came down and just entered their heart that they should carry a censer and offer strange fire. Immediately God dealt with them and told Nadab and Abihu, Itamar and Eleazar, don't cry. Don't make a sound. Just take it like that and continue the work that you're doing. So it's very important that we stop walking disorderly. What are the things that cause being disorderly? Lingering in unforgiveness. No, anything that is not love is walking disorderly. Unforgiveness. Taking offense easily. Dishonoring parents in our heart. Both spiritual parents and natural parents. That's something we need to repent of. Don't say it doesn't apply to me. Repent of it. So you are sure. Dishonoring God habitually during prayer. You're looking at your phone. You text somebody. Send email. Check a video. And you're supposed to be praying. God have mercy. And God did not talk. And because God did not talk, you thought it's okay. And if it's something you do occasionally and you repent, we're not talking about it. We're talking about something that you do. It's now become your habit. It's now become something that, or you are talking in church. I see some people, you know, when people are praying, you know, they are at the back talking. Sometimes people are carrying somebody else's baby. The person that owns the baby is praying. And someone else is allowing themselves to be distracted on their behalf. And be playing. So the person that owns the baby doesn't have common sense, Abby. Doesn't love the baby. We dishonor God. Is it wrong to love the baby? No. We're not saying that. But we're saying that there's a time for everything. And you must hallow God's time. It's working disorderly. disorderly. Gossip is disorderly. Gossip. And then expecting brethren to support you because you are too lazy or too proud to get a job. When you were down, brethren supported you, and then you so much enjoyed it. You want to continue in sin that grace may abound. It is wrong. And you know, because they are brethren, they don't want to seem like, no, it's not love again. That's what the Bible is saying. It's stop being love. You need to stand up. You need to sack that person. The Bible says if he doesn't have any food, let him not eat. If hunger wires his head, he will come round and submit. That's what God is saying. It's a will thing. You must submit your will. What is the example your fathers have shown? The discipline they have shown. The humility they have shown. The selflessness they have shown. The gratitude to God that they have shown. You must copy it. That's what the Bible is saying. Let us pray. Talk to God. God loves us very much. But he also wants us to love him. We owe it to him to love him. If one died for all, then we're all dead. That he that liveth should no longer live to himself, but live for him that died for them. We live for him. We live by his standard. Don't create your own separate standard. Let's ask God for mercy, including myself. Father, have mercy on us. So we keep growing in love. Forsaking our sins. As we confess, let's also forsake. So we will have mercy to be able to escape the cycle. That mercy will take you out of the trajectory. That's a divine shifting mommy has been declaring over our lives. It's a divine shifting. So instead of going around in a circle, you break out of that cycle by forsaking. Omitting spiritual law. Pray. Pray properly. Pray with all you have. Stop talking during prayer. Stop talking during prayer as much as you can. Should be the exception, not the rule. Is walking disorderly. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days I'm held in your hand and grafted into your perfect.
Beside me,
Lord, I give my life.
I give my life.
the border's hand. Let's lift up our right hand in faith, left hand on our hearts as we pray. God is calling us to come deeper, guiding us to stay away from those things that offend. Praise the Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me it is your will, your love to be written upon my will, my mind, and my emotions, so that love will be my first response. And I will wait in the place of love patiently until the glory is released upon your church. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to seek you in all sincerity, in humility, Lord, seeking you in the place of prayer, forsaking my wicked ways, practicing and exercising the love of God on a daily basis, so that progressively I will grow in love and so make my calling an election sure. In Jesus' name, help me, Lord, to walk orderly, Lord, to hallow you, to reverence you, to honor those in authority over me, to respect all men, so that my life will bring glory and honor to you everywhere I go. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit with all your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Also want to pray for you briefly. If you have need of deliverance, have need of healing, the word of God has gone forth, and the power of God is present in our midst under the covering of our fathers. So ask God for mercy and then receive. Say, I receive my deliverance. I receive my provision. I receive my healing. Father, we seal it under covering of our fathers. Everything that they have received, be it unto them according to their faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.